our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talks on transformation in Christ. The Bible says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I wonder how we are to renew our minds. I think it's pretty clear that the best way to do that is to feed on the Word of God, to abide in Christ, to be in communication with God so that we can have our thinking corrected, to be listening to the news on the television or the radio and reading the newspapers and current literature is bound to skew our views of truth. God wants us to have our minds transformed. And I think in a very practical way, that means that we must be saturating ourselves with the Word of God on a daily basis. I'm talking about quiet time. Have a specific time and place where you can meet God. Get on your knees and pray and open that Bible and ransack it for the message that God wants to give to you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Colossians, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, he writes this in the second chapter. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, there's a mouthful, isn't it? He's referring there, of course, to the old Jewish custom, but he's using it as a metaphor in which there is a cutting away of our sinful nature. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to His cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Paul is talking here about a state that he calls death, when we are away from God and dead in our sins. But God makes us alive with Christ when He forgives us our sins, cancels the written code, and takes it away, nailing it to His cross. Then in the third chapter of the same letter, Paul says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its Creator." So there's a description of transformation in Christ. Earlier this week, I read you some marvelous stories of ordinary people who were totally transformed. A housewife a wife's attitude toward her husband, who seemed to be a very difficult person to get along with, and yet the Lord gave her grace to treat her husband as she would treat Christ. And that marriage was transformed. I read two letters from prisoners whose lives had been transformed from great crime and sinfulness and degradation. They had come into a totally new life with Jesus Christ. That's what Gateway to Joy is about. I believe with all my heart that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy. Every experience. Yes, I mean even the bad ones, even the ones that you think God doesn't have anything to do with. God permitted it, God allowed it, and God knows how to transform it into something beautiful. There's a little song that they used to sing, "Something beautiful, something good, all my confusions God understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life." Is there someone whose ears pricked up just on that last line? Maybe I need to say it again. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusions God understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Perhaps you live in a situation of strife with very uncongenial people, or perhaps you work in an office where there just seems to be all kinds of bickering and nastiness and climbing over each other for the top spots. Give it to Jesus. It could be your gateway to joy. Well, another transformation story from a letter. This lady begins most unusually, "Dearest Elizabeth, you're cute." Can you imagine that? "You're cute," she says. "Yep, you may be in your later years, but you're still cute. I just love the daylights out of you. Thank you so much for visiting me Monday through Friday each week in my kitchen. When you talked about buying a gallon of shampoo and teaching the hygiene of a caveman, I lost it and knew I just had to write and extend my appreciation for you. Honest and really very good ways to save money. I've raised 4 boys, and I know you're right on. You and I have had to live at times on almost $0, and the luxuries that so many Americans take for granted are costing them so much money. They can't even think about not using paper towels. I think I spoke some months ago about the fact that my husband and I can get along on maybe 2 or 3 rolls of paper towels per year, not per week, not even per month, but per year, because both of us grew up in times of privation. My husband Lars grew up in Norway under the occupation by Germany, and I grew up during the Great Depression in Philadelphia. And we certainly wouldn't have thought of using a paper towel back in those days. If you have a mess to clean up from the floor, then you use a floor rag. If you have a mess to clean up on the counter, you use the dish rag, and etc. So this lady actually appreciated those suggestions that I made. Buying prepared frozen foods. Goes without saying, there were no such things as frozen foods in our day, and somehow or other we ate enough to keep alive, and here we are. Or stretching one chicken over 3 days. My parents went through the Great Depression and tried to teach me how to live through hard times. You've lived through more than I have, but I try to be more pleasing to God, she says. How to be a better example to others, I ask God. I live with a handicapped lady in a wheelchair-accessible apartment. That this apartment could just radiate His love, I ask God. When people come into it, may they see God. I pray that Pam, the handicapped lady with CP, presume that means cerebral palsy, I pray that Pam and I could make them so comfortable and joyful when they enter our home that they want to have what we have. We have joy. We live well. God made this possible. My life is the best it has ever been. I've found a church where the Bible is taught, and people are beginning to see that Pam and I don't seem to have as many problems as all of the other 13 apartments. They have asked me to be their attendant because they see how happy Pam is. Pam has changed to accommodate my needs. She wasn't nearly so accommodating when I first met her, but now she would do just about anything I ask. And the same goes for her. I'd do all I could to keep her safe and cared for. God picked me up out of my misery and dusted me off and showed me how much He loves me. How can I help but return the favor to others when He asked us to love one another? And that letter reminds me of a passage in Isaiah chapter 58, where God says, "If you pour yourself out for the hungry, then the Lord will satisfy your needs, and you will become like a watered garden." The great spiritual principle there is that even in the midst of our sufferings, even when we may feel dry as dust and perhaps helpless or hopeless, if we begin to take our eyes off ourselves and direct them towards the needs of others, God will then make us like watered gardens, whose waters fail not. I have found that to be marvelous therapy. I learned during my second husband's illness and death that God would always give me work for my hands to do. Necessary work like laundry and cooking and cleaning, in order to keep my mind off myself and off my sorrows. And God began to teach me also to reach out to other people, to think of their needs, to realize that there are always people much worse off than we are. May your life be transformed as you offer up every experience to Jesus.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.